Awesome. So I have on the call today, I have Kelsey, Courtney, Thorsten, Spider, and Anne. If there's anyone else who's joined the call and I'm not aware that you're on the call, just let me know. And I'd like to welcome all of you to our second call for RP 102 Evaluation and Recreation. And today I'd like to acknowledge that I'm not hosting the call from home. I'm hosting, and I forgot to write down what it is, but I'm in Seychelles, which is the unceded territories of the I can't pronounce it. Anyways, I'm on the Seychelles, traditional territories of the Seychelles First Nations. So that's where I am today, in the rain. So no snow or no sunshine, just rain. Anyways, so today's, or actually last week, we explored some of the whys, whats, whens, and whos related to evaluation. We discussed on our call the role of an evaluator and how an evaluation can be influenced by our different experiences and perspectives. I appreciate your post from last week's RLA because you introduced different factors that can introduce an evaluation and you started to describe how you would approach an evaluation. So I think that was a really useful activity last week. I think I provided feedback to most of you. Kelsey, I still need some for you, so sorry about that. I haven't quite got to that yet. This week, we're going to start with looking at how you create an evaluation plan. Before we get into our call, we're going to do a super quick round of introductions just because I'd like to keep most of the time for our call. So in 5 seconds or less, what I'd like you to do is just introduce yourself, who you are, where you are in your role. I think you guys by now have pretty much met each other. And then I have one quick answer, question for you. So on a scale of 1 to 7, where 7 is none, or 1 is none and 7 is lost, how much, I was just popping in the chat at the same time as I was talking. How much knowledge do you feel you had about evaluation 2 weeks ago and how much do you have now? So you might say, 2 weeks ago on a scale of 1 to 7, I had a little bit, so I rank myself as a 3. This week now, I feel like maybe I'm a 4 or 5 because I've gained some new knowledge. So if we could do that, and we'll go in the order right now that you joined the call, but I will rotate that order so Kelsey's not always put on the spot to go first. So Kelsey, let's go to you. Just a quick introduction and 2 points on a scale of 1 to 7. Where did you rank yourself about with your knowledge about evaluation 2 weeks ago, and where do you rank yourself now?
Sure. So I'm Kelsey. I'm the Active Living Coordinator for RPE in Whitehorse. Apologize in advance if there's any whining or barking when I talk on the call. I have a very upset dog with me right now because I'm not letting her chew toilet paper. On a scale of 1 to 7, 2 weeks ago, I would probably rate myself at like a 4 or 5. And now I'd probably rate myself at like a 6. It's definitely growing.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks so much, Kelsey. Courtney's popped in the chat. Courtney, did you want to talk or do you want me just to read it from there?
I can talk.
Okay.
Yeah, my name's Courtney Teria. I'm the Youth Recreation Manager for Kwamadun First Nation on the traditional territory of the Kwamadun First Nation and on Kwachin Council. And yeah, similarly, I would say before I was about a 4 or 5, and now I feel more confident at about a 6.
That's great. Thanks, Courtney. And Thorsten, does it work for you to introduce yourself?
Let's hope so. Can you still hear me, Cameron?
You bet.
Okay. It's Thorsten. I'm from Fort Providence. I'm the Physical Logistics Coordinator for the Big Tree region. And right now I'm in the beautiful community of Olokotuk. And I think I do everything that everybody else said. I was maybe even lower, 3 or 4, and now I'm a 5 and 6 maybe.
That's great. Thanks, Thorsten. And I'd love it if you'd share a picture with us later on and like just post a picture of where you were this week. So that would be really cool. Thank you. Okay, over to you, Spider, for a quick introduction and just on the scale of 1, where 1's none and 7's lost, your knowledge about evaluation a few weeks ago and where you feel you're at today.
Good morning. I'm Spider Jones. I'm a Sport North Federation, multi-sport executive director for wrestling and athletics. I do some special project work and try to keep up with Thor on the physical literacy side. He's not doing a very good job. I like to think it's because Thor is so exceptional. But I guess on the evaluation side, I'd probably be at about a 2 or a 3. You know, I'd probably be about 4 or 5 now on the evaluation. But more importantly, I think it's, you know, my appetite for this topic has become huge. Most recently, I've been applying for Poise to make an application to the Government of Canada's Community Sport for All initiative, and they specifically want an evaluation plan. So this is right up really as perfect timing. Thank you very much.
That's great. So, I mean, you could actually work on that for your next couple of activities and create one, either using their template or using the template that I share, whichever. Sometimes they don't provide a template, sometimes they do. So hopefully that will help, because the best thing about these learning events is when you can actually take what you're using and apply it to your work. So I really like that. Thanks, Spider.
You bet. Thank you.
And Anne, over to you, Anne, for a quick introduction.
Hi, my name's Anne Morgan, and I work with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, and I'm on the call from home today, and so I'm on the traditional territory of the Ta'an Kwachin Council, and then I guess the evaluation, I think I thought I knew more about evaluation than I did, because I tried to tackle the assignments, and I thought, oh my God, I know nothing about it. Evaluation. It was really hard. So I think I thought I was maybe a 3 or 4, and now I feel like I'm a 3. But it'll improve.
Well, and I think, Anne, keep in mind that there's different levels of evaluation. So, you know, you're probably very, very familiar with evaluating a program that you run. And, you know, we're just taking that a step a little bit more beyond and showing how in-depth an evaluation can actually be for, you know, an extensive project or something like that. And we're also bringing in some of the language that, you know, Spider's applying for a federal grant, right? And they use certain language that we have to be familiar with in the North. Whether we use it or not, it doesn't matter, but it's still, we still need to know what things like indicators are. Unfortunately, it's not my favorite word. So I think that sort of language and design, you know, when we're used to doing it on a small scale, is sometimes a bit overwhelming, and I still feel that way. So thanks for sharing. So what we're going to do this week on our call, or specifically right now, is we're going to go through some of the content for the week under the week 2 presentation slides, and then we're going to start to create a bit of an evaluation plan together. Just really simple. We're just going to sort of pop some ideas in. And this will help you with this week's RLA and also next week. And what the work we do today will help us with the 4th one as well. So I'll explain that as we go through it. So good evaluation requires good planning, as you're probably noticing. One mistake that people sometimes make when they approach evaluation or think they have to do an evaluation is they collect a bunch of random data and then they try and figure out what to do with it. So they haven't decided the purpose and what it's for and how useful it'll be and things beforehand. And what that does is then you end up with stuff that doesn't really do anything for you. And then people who've been part of your evaluation might not be part of it in the future. And so for those of you who were in BF103, the reporting and recreation, when you shared your first RLA and you had a tool to collect things that you know, like a feedback form or whatever, I was pretty specific with some of my questions to you about, you know, how will you use this, or is this useful, or is it something that people can actually answer? So it really is important to make sure that we figure out or plan the evaluation before we actually do it. If we just sort of collect random data and then figure out what it means, it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. So we don't want to let data determine what our questions are. Instead, we want to identify questions, figure out what information we need to answer them, how we're going to get it, and so on and so on. So that's what we're going to look at this week. So if you think of it, you know, if evaluation feels overwhelming to you, think of it as a planning process, and I think that that will help. So if you're following along in the slides, and if not, no worries. Slides 20 and 21 explain that good evaluation has to be useful, but not only useful for you, but also useful for your stakeholders or partners or whoever else is involved. It also has to be feasible or doable. It has to be feasible based on what it is you want to evaluate, your community, and also the resources that you have. It's great to plan a big evaluation, but if you don't have time to do it or money to do it, then there's not much point in planning something that's that big. Good evaluation is also accurate, so it has to be somewhat objective and follow accepted evaluation practices. So we don't want to completely skew something and just make up things from what we've collected. So, you know, there is a whole practice or field behind this. Good evaluation should also be ethical, and that means being fair and respectful to your participants and anyone who's involved. If you look at slide 22, it shows you that an evaluation plan can follow through I've broken it down into three big steps. So first of all, it should be focused. Then it should describe the design or the method or methodology, is another word you might hear. And then it has to identify the application or the use or how you'll use what you've learned. So if you think of focusing, designing and doing, and then using, that's probably a really nice way just to break down how we go about planning for evaluation. So the focus is explained on slide 23. And this focus, what you're trying to do when you focus or plan an evaluation, your focus, you need to look at what you're trying to accomplish and how you will do so. So as slide 23 explains, you want to begin with your program or project logic. And I'm not a big fan of logic models, but I've included them in this learning event because of those of you working especially with Government of Canada funding, we'll always encounter a logic model. I don't think that they're going to change that in the near future. But you can think of logic in a really simple way. So logic simply means if we do this, then we expect this to happen. So that if we do this is about your process, and we expect this to happen is about your results, your outcomes. So if you just think of it as those two steps, if we do this, then we think this will happen. And that's sort of what you're trying to explain when you're talking about logic. And you have to be able to explain your program, your project, in that way so that you can break it apart for evaluation. If you scroll to slide 24, it shows you then how that logic can be broken down into process or outcome. So I'm just taking it really a really big overview here. So you can look at the process, which are things like things you've put in, like have you put enough money into it? Do you have the right stakeholders involved? Did you do the right activities at the right time? And outcome can explore both your outputs and your outcomes. You know, did you do the number of sessions you said you did? Did you get the number of participants that you thought? So you can sort of break it apart that way. Then what you want to do is you want to focus your evaluation through a clear statement of purpose or goal. And this is shown on slide 25. So this is really important. I think it was Thorsten in your post. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I wasn't quite clear on what your purpose was. It seemed like there were several purposes that you were describing or several goals. So when you think about evaluation, try and be very clear, because that clarity right up front will help you design your evaluation as you move forward. After you clearly state your purpose or goal, then you go on to develop some key questions. And this is shown on slide 26. And so these key questions are really, they're key questions. They're very, very important to your evaluation. They should be fairly broad, such as what did people learn as a result of participating? And then you can break it down further. So, you know, did people gain new knowledge? Did they gain new skills? Did they change their attitudes? So you can take something that's fairly big and have sub-questions too. I've shared a really good link on slide 26 that's how to write good evaluation questions that you might want to look at. So what we're going to do right now is that's a very lot of interest. Sorry, my language today isn't working quite right. That's a lot of information in a very short amount of time. So I'd like us to have a conversation about what this actually looks like, and we're going to use the online document if you happen to be in there. And if you're not, don't worry about it. We'll talk you through it. So last week, for those of you on the conference call, you'll recall that we chose an evaluation topic. We said that we wanted to look at promising practices for engaging youth in community sport and recreation. So I want you to think about that. So we're not really, it's an evaluation topic, but we're not really evaluating a program. So what do you think we're evaluating? And I just want to ask you that quickly. If promising practices for engaging youth in community sport and recreation isn't about evaluating a specific program, what are we evaluating? And I'm going to start with Courtney this time. Just a thought. What do you think we're evaluating?
I would say the process.
Yeah. So because we're evaluating processes. Good. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's because it's the practice that you're evaluating rather than the outcome. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So does anyone have anything else to add to that? I mean, there's only six of us on the call, so I'm not going to go around the circle every single time. Then I'll start the next question with Thorsten. So anybody want to ask Courtney what she means by that or have that clarified, that promising practices is about evaluating process? Okay, so that makes sense then. So we're going to be looking at process, and we're going to take this really broad. We're not going to be looking at it in a single community. We're going to look at it across our northern communities. So we're going to evaluate the process and find out what works for engaging youth, and then we'll share that back. And if you think about it, that's probably a meaningful topic for people in many communities across the North. So what is our evaluation focus? Well, I guess that's our focus. So we're looking at, so if somebody wants to type in there, I see somebody with a purple one, which might be Courtney or Kelsey. Just go ahead and type in the process and explain that. I think that was you, Courtney, right? So here's our next question. So we want to look at our statement of purpose or evaluation goal. And think of this as, why are we doing this evaluation? And I might have just answered that question a bit prematurely. But first, and let me ask you, I'm going to go to you next. So what do you think, why did we choose this topic? Why do we want to evaluate this, and what do we want to accomplish?
You want to think about this for a second?
Yeah, and while you're thinking, the rest of you who are in the document, if you want to jot your ideas in there, just go ahead, because I think that'll help. It gives you an opportunity to put your own ideas on paper while Thorsten's sort of thinking. So think about, what do we want to accomplish? Why are we doing this? So as a group of people working in recreation in communities across the North, why would it be important for us to understand what are some of the promising practices for engaging youth in community sport and recreation? So go ahead and pop those in, and Thorsten, you can talk, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you can explain a little bit more about the topic, the promising practices, and what that actually means for you.
Yeah, so last week we brought that up and we talked about that. So promising practices, the other thing that I was thinking of are strategies or ways to really involve and engage youth in what we're doing in our recreation programming. So as if it's a way or a strategy, last week a few people said, well, it's things that we do. I can't remember if it was Kelsey or maybe Spiders who said that last week, that it was, you know, or maybe it was Tegan as well, something about what we do to make youth a little bit more or help them a bit more engaged. So does that kind of make sense?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm.
why are they doing it? I mean, again, to see if the program is worthwhile or, yeah, the it is worthwhile running it, or if the practices that we do, are they worthwhile, and do we need to change it or not? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that could be another reason. Like, is, and the other thing that comes to mind is, you know, some of us have been involved in recreation for longer than others. So, you know, when I worked with youth 30 years ago, probably what I did 30 years ago isn't really relevant now, right? So it's also an opportunity to learn how things might have changed too.
Yeah.
Let's go around our circle. Spider, do you have any thoughts? Because I know that for you, the community sport piece was important. Do you have any ideas why we want to do this evaluation? What would be important, what we want to accomplish?
Well, I think we want to, I guess, identify practices. I mean, that would be important to me. Identify maybe the determinants why youth are engaging, or what needs to be in place for youth to engage.
So kind of like what's working and what doesn't work?
Yep.
Awesome. Anne, anything to add to that? Why do you think we might want to evaluate or learn more about promising practices for engaging youth in community sport and recreation?
I don't know. I always think of a promising practice as kind of a way to share successes. And so I guess when I look at it, I think of, you know, what's worked well somewhere else, and would the youth in my community maybe enjoy something similar, or vice versa, that something's worked well for youth in my community that maybe I would like to share with others, or maybe expand the program. I guess that would be the other thing I would think of, is there something that we've learned that we can use to develop something new or expand on the existing program? I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, and if we think of it as doing this across the three territories, like I'm hoping we can actually create something that goes out through the Rec North social media and we get a whole lot of different answers, then we can have a look at, in general, what works in the North, and that might be really useful too. So that's what I was kind of thinking. Kelsey, I noticed you've popped a couple of things in there, and I know you've worked a lot with youth. Do you want to add sort of why you think this type of evaluation might be important, or what we might want to accomplish with it?
I think it's something that's important to kind of always be somewhat evaluating, just because as youth move through the program and different groups of youth move through programs, they get engaged in sometimes very different ways than the previous group. I think it's really important to always kind of look and see, okay, what's working, what isn't working, what worked in the past that might work now, and what's something new that we can be trying.
Exactly, yeah, and I think, you know, just sort of sharing those ideas in case there's something that would work, like Anne said, would work for you that somebody else is doing. Courtney, I noticed, I think you've been popping in there about, did you have anything to add to that, sort of our overall purpose, or maybe what our evaluation goal might look like for this topic?
Yeah, I think to look at really similarly, like what's working and what isn't, and also like being able to repeat something that does work. Like I think oftentimes, you know, staff might find themselves in a position where they feel like they're like reinventing the wheel all the time. So that's why I said this, like, if you already have a practice that works and is successful, then you can just do that and don't have to, like, rethink everything every time.
Yeah. And do you guys, so do you think this would be helpful for, as Anne mentioned, for a different community to hear what one community is doing? So, like, if something works well for you in Kwangmyeongdong, you know, it might be really useful for a community in NWT, for example, to hear what's working for you.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, especially if it's, say, like, a new program starting up, you know, to have those resources from other communities and they can just, like, pull that information and they don't have to spend all of that time sort of experimenting. They have, like, some resources they can try right away.
Exactly. And I also think, too, like, you know, as I mentioned a little earlier, times have changed, right? So when I first started working with youth, there were no cell phones. There was no social media. We didn't even have internet when I first started working with youth. And things have changed a lot since then. And so there's many different ways to engage youth that would have changed. And I think staying on top of that can be really helpful, too, especially for some of us who might be a little bit older. So that's great. So the next thing then we would do, once we sort of come up with what our goal is, our evaluation purpose or goal, so now we know that we're focusing on sort of the process, because practices are the process of what we do in our programs. And we know that we want to identify some things that might be useful for not only ourselves in our own communities and organizations, but also for others across the North. So now we want to take a look at and answer the question, who are our evaluation stakeholders? Or who might have an interest in this evaluation? So, Spider, let's start with you. If we do, as a group, this evaluation, who do you think might be interested in it? Or if we tackle this, it's more of a topic, but tackling this topic for our RLA number 4, who might be interested in this?
Well, I think first off, you need, it's, you know, the funder who's invested in this initiative. I think, and I mentioned it on a previous call, that, you know, your employer would, you know, could or should be interested in the results because they're in effect, you know, investing your time in whatever initiative it was or practices there were.
Yeah, so from an organizational perspective for an evaluation, you're exactly right. Like it should be, if you are accountable to a funder, they definitely have an interest in the evaluation, so they would be a stakeholder. And same with your employer. Let's think about this topic. So if we're going to do a practice evaluation with this topic, you guys might be accountable back to this required, you know, to the learning event. But who might be interested, and I'll go to Anne next, who might be interested in what we're doing, like in this topic? Who might we want to make sure we reach out to or invite to participate? So Anne, any thoughts about that?
Sorry, I was muted.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I understand your question. I think, can you say it again? What is it you wanted to know?
Yeah, so Spider said, well, I said, who are our evaluation stakeholders? And Spider said, you know, generally for an evaluation, one of your stakeholders would be your funder. So if you're getting money from somebody, like Spider, you've got that evaluation coming up for what you're applying, or you have to include an evaluation plan in your application. So absolutely, if you have a funder for a special project or a program, they are a stakeholder in your evaluation. They want to know how things are working. Your organization or your employer or would also have an interest in an evaluation. If we're looking, though, at promising practices for engaging youth, who else might be interested? We don't have a funder for that.
Sorry.
We don't really have an organization. So who else might be interested in us doing this?
I think parents of youth might be interested. And I think like-minded agencies, like other stakeholders, right? Like I think of like sort of the crime prevention and the health folks and the, you know, the tobacco quitting people and those kinds of like sort of like-minded or stakeholders with common goals, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome. So
parents and youth, yeah, as well, right?
Yeah, That's great. So, and youth are the people that we're actually targeting. So we're trying to improve a situation for them through the evaluation. So we're trying to improve the processes that we use to engage youth. So youth are definitely an evaluation stakeholder because they would be part, we would hope that, you know, part of what we'd learn would be able to affect what we do down the road. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I think that in communities, especially small communities, that our target population should always be identified as having an interest in any evaluation we do. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Good. Anyone else think of any other evaluation stakeholders for this topic that we want to do? And there, I have one that comes to mind. So, Kelsey, any thoughts about who else might be interested in the promising practices for engaging youth? Anyone we haven't mentioned?
The one that kind of pops into my mind, especially with small communities, would be the school would probably be very interested and involved in this as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the school, so other, that could be like-minded agencies or something that's a little bit different as well. I think the other thing I had in mind is just other recreation leaders like yourselves who aren't taking part in this learning event might be interested. So anybody else working with youth, like Courtney, you've got four youth workers working with you, so they might be interested in finding out what we know. So we want to think about who has an interest when we're designing our evaluation. So now what we're going to do, and we're going to move to question number four here. And I'll start with Courtney this time, or you guys can jot things down. I really like it when you're popping things already in here, so keep going. That's great. So my next question is, you know, what are our evaluation questions? So what do we want to find out? And so now I want you to think specifically of the topic, which is at the top of that, and I'll pop it in here again. So our topic is promising practices for engaging youth in community sport and recreation. What are a couple of questions we might need to ask, okay, to help us find out what we want to find out, like to help sort of get to that? And this is just a brainstorm. There's no right or wrong here. We have to start with a brainstorm so we can pare it down. So, Courtney, any ideas about what our evaluation questions might be?
So would this be like the program has happened and we're trying to figure out why the youth were interested in joining the program?
If you were doing it for a specific program, you could, but let's imagine that we've decided that we want to evaluate or probably look at is a better term. In general, the practices of engaging youth in community recreation and sport across the North. So let's think of it, I know that makes it a little harder because we're not looking at a specific program. We're going to look at the practices as a whole. So in a sense, we'd be evaluating how across the North, across our three territories, we engage youth and what works well. So can you think of a question within that context?
So, like, I think of advertisements, so a question maybe could be, like, how did you hear about the program, or how did you find out that this, you know, sport and recreation activity was happening? So if we're trying to engage them, like, how do you find out, like, are they on social media, is it word of mouth, did their parents tell them about it? Like,
yeah, so if you go a little bit bigger than the how did they find out, what's the bigger topic a little bit broader than that? You're talking about, there's one word that comes to mind and it starts with a C. So you're talking about communicating, right?
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So a bigger question could be something about what are the ways that, you know, we can best communicate with youth or something. I'm just sort of brainstorming that.
Yeah.
And then what you could pare it down by is how do youth respond to social media? What social media? Like, so you could start with a broad question and then look at your sub questions from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thorsten, do you have an idea of a question that we could possibly ask? And Courtney, thanks for typing that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, very broad, it's like, did we engage the youth in promising practices?
So, did you engage youth in sharing what works for them?
I think I'm looking more at the program, if it worked or it didn't work.
So this is a little bit bigger than a program, and we just think in general, across the three territories, the ways in which we get youth involved and engaged in sport and recreation, and we're looking at sort of that bigger general picture. What's a question we might want to ask?
I mean, that's a big one because, I mean, we're talking about three territories, talking about, I don't know, 50, 60 communities.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the community would be different. So I'm not sure how that we can be that broad, honestly, when we talk about that. It needs to be very specific, especially this practice.
Yeah.
You know, just look at land acknowledgement. I look at, what's the word, like in a local district, we need to have language services in place and all these kind of things. So, yeah.
You could put language under the best ways to communicate with youth. So obviously, you know, do we need to communicate with youth in their local language? Do we need to use a certain type of social media? That would fall under that communication. Another thing, just how you're sort of talking, one question that might come to my mind is when in recreation should we make sure that we engage youth? So I'm thinking of the way that we can approach from a community development model where youth are engaged in talking about what they want to see in their communities versus us just delivering a program. So that's really broad, and that might apply to multiple communities. You might find that in general, youth are better engaged when they have a say in what the programs look like rather than what you just deliver. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I mean, sorry for the but. I find that with the community outreach that we have done or that I have done is the overall template seems to not quite work, I find, when you think about it, because we still don't have capacity to look inside the communities. And again, so I'm going off topic here a little bit, but it just feels that when we create an evaluation process like this, or if we have a way of how to engage with communities or youth in communities, it seems that we might focus on the general way, and most likely it's a southern way than it is a northern way, and it just doesn't work. So I think we need to go, of course, long-term, big picture, but we need to work the other way through the small communities and then going bigger, but still have an outline of each of the communities itself. Yeah, sorry everyone for that.
No, that's okay. And this is where evaluation is complicated. So last year we did a completely, totally different topic, and it still took us a while to work through it. This topic is a little bit bigger because I'm talking about a bigger thing than a specific program. But none of us are involved in the same program, so for each of us to create an evaluation for a program that the rest of us don't know about doesn't necessarily work. So, you know, I've heard you say a couple of things that might underlie this promising practices. So it could be a question about what type of capacity is needed to engage youth, what type of resources are lacking, right? I see barriers written down in here too. So, you know, even though you said this is challenging, you've alluded to some bigger things. It's great to talk about engaging youth, but if we don't have the capacity to do so, then we have a problem. So those types of questions might be useful as well. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And then we can use that for each of the communities and then find out for each community and live differently too. I like that.
Yeah. So I just started typing that, but if you're in that document and you want to add a little bit more, that would be great. I think what I'll do here, I want to make sure that I can get through my call. So, Spider and Anne and Kelsey, if you guys can think of any questions to pop in there, go ahead and do that. But I'll come to Spider for my next thing, because I just wanted to make sure that we can sort of move through this process a little bit so you see how it works. We will have to come back to these questions because that will focus our fourth required learning activity. So if we move on to number five in here, which is our evaluation matrix, evaluation questions such as those that we've just been brainstorming, actually, to me, that's the longest part of sort of creating an evaluation plan, is really refining those questions so that they make sense and that they direct what it is that we're doing in the right way. And they'll focus what you do and what you collect, like the information that you collect. So once you identify those questions, let's say, what are the best ways we can best communicate with youth as a question, and we have sub-questions to that, then we have to decide what type of information will help us answer the questions, how we're going to get the information, how to make sense of it, and how to use it. So what we do, we start with taking our question, and then we look for indicators. Another word for indicators is a measure of something that will help us answer our question. So indicators are specific pieces of information, and they help us measure or track things. So they might be the number of people in a program, or changes in physical activity levels, or in this question, maybe it's, you know, youth preference for TikTok over Instagram or something like that, like the type of social media that, you know, maybe that's an indicator, the type of social media that youth are most likely to use. So you can come up with a lot of different indicators. You obviously don't want too many because then your evaluation gets bigger and bigger. But if you think about some of the questions that we have put for our topic, can anyone think of any indicators that might help us answer those questions? So whether it's about ways to communicate with youth, how they responded to social media, what makes it more recreation and sport more accessible, how do we overcome barriers, what type of capacity is needed. I think this is a tough question because I think we're dealing with something really big and now I'm asking you to go pretty small. So Spider, any thoughts about indicators, or are you still sort of processing what I mean by that in your head? Because I am.
Yeah, I'm still processing here.
Okay. Anne, any thoughts about what type of information might help us answer some of those questions, like communication or social media or barriers?
You know what just came to mind when you were speaking was the work that RK did with the NWT probably 20 years ago when we looked at barriers to participation across the North for the Everybody Gets to Play project. And I think of how that sort of framed an entire program or delivery across the North for youth. And it was specifically for children living in low-income situations. But I think of the results of that, and we still use them today when we're planning programs, because it was about identifying barriers to participation. Sorry, I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway, that's what it made me think of.
Well, and that's a really good point, Anne, because if you look at the slides on slide 27, it talks about indicators, and it says indicators are specific pieces of information, for example, number of, type of, satisfaction with, changes in. So I just added type of barriers, so that would be an example. Number of youth experiencing, you know, a barrier such as cost. Right, or things like that. So you're right on the bat there. We're taking something that's really big and you're trying to find out how you could pick that apart and answer that question. So thanks for sharing that.
I think that the things that were sort of identified were, you know, things like social barriers and income and equipment and transportation Yeah, I don't know. It was super helpful even today, and it's been a long time since that work was done. But, yeah, anyway, thank you.
Thanks. Kelsey, any thoughts about indicators?
One that I had that I think would be pretty specific to the North, really, when it comes to figuring out like what ways to communicate with the youth and how they respond to social media, would be looking at like the number of engagement that you get on something like Instagram versus the amount of engagement you get from a poster that's put up at the school. And I think that's pretty North specific.
Great. And so that's something you could specifically look at, you know, where did you hear about our program or something like that? You know, or where do you, if we make that bigger across the North, where do the youth generally get their information? And as Thorsten pointed out, that's going to be, I think the Yukon, NWC, and Nunavut are all very different in how that works. And then each community might be different too. But if you did like a blanket evaluation across the North, you might get a broader picture, and then communities could say, well, that sounds like us, or that doesn't sound like us, because sometimes having information is really useful. So in NWT, for example, I've heard lots of people find out about what's going on Facebook, and I don't find the same extent always in the Yukon. So, you know, there are different experiences. Thanks, Kelsey. Courtney, any thoughts about indicators?
I was thinking, I'm not sure if this really applies, but even, like, networking with other youth-led organizations, so an indicator could be that, you know, you're starting to, like, branch out and have these other partnerships and collaborations to have a further reach. So rather than just, like, trying to engage youth, like, in your own organization, you're really, like, getting the word out in the broader community.
Exactly, and so that it's more of a team effort, I guess?
Yeah, a team effort, and even, you know, like, we work with some families who, like, they don't have internet at home. Maybe some of the kids, like, aren't really even going to school. And so, like, trying to find all these ways, like, you know, maybe they go to some sports club after school, and that's sort of the only way that they're hearing about other things going on. And so, like, the more sort of youth-led organizations that you're networked with, the more reach you'll have.
Yeah, and that just brings me back. One of the things when I was working through this, I thought about we could almost design an evaluation with three questions, one around what are the practices that individual leaders working with youth do, what are the practices around an organization, and what are community practices that support youth engagement. So I think what you're alluding to here is it's not just what you as a leader or you as an organization do, it's also how you work with others in your community to provide that support too.
Yeah.
Awesome, thanks. Okay, I'm going to just quickly, I obviously planned my conference call with thinking I had more time than what I did. So I just want to go through the last couple of things, because I do want you to be able to work on your RLA that's due on Sunday, and I'd also like to be able to work on this one that sets up RLA number 4 for you. So I just wanted to point out that then once you've looked at indicators, and I'm on that second page in the document under evaluation matrix, or maybe it's the third page, the next thing that you're going to go to is figuring out how to collect the information. So as slide 28 explains, most evaluations use a number of different tools and sources. So it's helpful to understand the different types of data. And usually we split these up into quantitative and qualitative. And that's explained on slide 29. We will also dig into this a little bit more next week. So just take a look at slide 29 so that you understand the difference between quantitative. That means that data can be counted or represented by numbers, while qualitative data uses words to share information. And when you collect both types of data, which most of us do, this is called using a mixed method or a mixed data source. Slide 30 explains that there's many different places that we can get data or information from, and I just put them under two categories, paperwork and people. So that gives you a little bit of an idea, and there's a really good link on slide 30 as well. As slide 31 shows, and we're going to look at this next week, there's a number of different tools that you can use, and some are more suited for qualitative data, and some are more suitable for quantitative, and some of them, like surveys, you can use for both. So what we're going to do, if we go back to this evaluation plan then, We would look at our design, like what type of data are we going to collect and where are we going to collect it from. So if you're in that document, just go in the box under design and pop in if you think we're going to be collecting quantitative or qualitative or both for this evaluation topic that we're looking at. And then while you're doing that, I'm just going to say that what I'll do to make it easier for you is, this is for your fourth required learning activity, and I'm just going to say that we're going to use a survey because I've actually got it set up that we can run it through Recmer social media and then collect a little bit of information. So we're going to try a little bit of a survey. I have some posts that will come out, and it should help make it a little bit more interesting for you. Don't worry, you guys don't have to design the tool. I'm going to design it for you. I'm not asking you to design the tool. So, you know, you can wipe your brow where your sweat was coming, thinking, oh my gosh, what's she asking us to do? I will design the tool for you with these questions that you sort of suggested. I'll make sure it goes out, and then I'm going to give you the data that comes back. Your job will simply be to help repost it or get people to answer our survey. And I'll make it really short. It won't be a big one. It's just more of a sample. So that's sort of what your role will be. So then if you scroll a little further down, you'll see that there's some other pieces to your plan. Your analysis, and we'll worry about this more next week and the week after, is how you're going to organize and make sense of your data. And then resources are things like money, people, and time, things like that. And then the application, which is number 7, is how you will use it. So if we assume that we're going to use this evaluation topic, we've identified a few questions. I'll start to develop it, and you can provide feedback if you want to. It's entirely up to you. And I'll also get it out there. I'll let you know in a post what I expect you to do with it. That will be the fourth one, so I'm jumping ahead a bit. But if we come back to this week, I've broken this evaluation plan down for you into 2 different RLAs. So the first one ends with evaluation questions. So for this Sunday, I want you can use the topic that you introduced on Sunday in your last week's RLA, or you can pick a new one. And I'd like you to start your evaluation plan. You're going to do part A, which goes up to your questions. Once you've shared that with me, I'll give you some feedback. I might ask you some questions about your questions. Then you can refine them, and you'll do the rest of your evaluation plan for week 3. So hopefully that makes sense. They're not designed, you're not going to carry out this evaluation plan. I just want you to practice thinking. It's the working through it and the designing it. So I know I'm over time. My apologies. If anyone has to go, feel free to just hang up. But I'd like to just go around and see if you have any questions, because this is the most complicated learning event. And I know today probably your mind's maybe swimming a little bit after the call. But I just want to see if anyone has any questions. So I think we got to, let's go to Spider. Do you have any questions about the expectations for this week, next week, or where we're going with the different required learning activities?
So for Sunday's required learning activity is, I'm looking at slide 35. Go into the evaluation plan template and complete part A, and then post that in the form. Okay.
And part A ends with evaluation questions, so you only have to go up to the questions. That's all. You don't have to do indicators or any of those other things we talked about. And there's no right or wrong answer. This is for you to try it out, see how it works, and then I will provide feedback. And you guys can also provide feedback on each other's, too.
So we're going up to and including questions, not beyond.
Exactly. And then I'll give you feedback on your questions. And then in the following week, you'll be able to do the remainder. You might want to do some revisions to your questions and then do the remaining part of the template.
Okay. I'll try that.
Awesome. And any questions about either what we talked about today, the evaluation, your required learning activities or anything like that?
I think what I'm looking at, I sort of took a stab at at the assignment, and because I think I'm looking at a developmental evaluation process, probably, and I found it super hard to be concise. It's like, wow, this is a big topic. How do I tackle it? So I need to go back and do some revisions to what I've done to try to be more specific, I think.
Yeah, and that's the challenge with evaluation. So you might remember from last week's call, Spider asked me what that quote was, and it was like, what was it about? You don't have to evaluate, like, not everything can be evaluated, and don't evaluate everything. So developmental evaluation is definitely big and complicated. So you may have to narrow it down. I'll have a look at it and provide some feedback to you.
No, that sounds great. I just really would like to sort of look at a program that's been running that has some successful qualities to it, and use information from that to develop resources and other programs, I guess is the goal. But yeah, anyway, thank you. It's been great. Makes me think.
Okay. Sorry. I know, my brain's hurting. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Spider again. So the name of the project, so this is this is our own one that's germane to us. So we can even change it from last week if we wanted. So for example, if I was going to do now put it as the try to make it as applicable as I could to this application I'm poised to make to the government.
Absolutely. I would totally do it for your application.
Yeah, they'd like me to, on their online form, actually, they have a box saying, describe your evaluation plan or whatever. So, I mean, yeah. Okay, so that's very amazing.
Yeah, and if they give you a template for it, you can follow their template. You don't have to use mine. Mine goes through the most detail that anybody would probably ask you. You can make it a lot simpler than what I've provided, but I've made it more complicated so that you actually think through the process and see it as a planning process. So by all means, feel free to switch and choose something that works for you or is useful for you. Thanks, Spider.
Thank you.
Kelsey, any questions about the required learning activities or today or where we're moving towards?
Not yet.
Awesome. Okay. Courtney?
Yeah, I think I'm all good, ready to go.
That's great. And Thorsten, any questions or wonderings or reflections?
A lot, but think look at it first and then I have questions I can't take yet. Thank you.
That sounds great. And you can pick something fairly simple if you want to, or you can pick the one that you started your table tennis outreach one from last week. So.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you. Well, thanks, everyone. My apologies for going over in time today. I hope that this was helpful. I know it is a big topic, and I realize it's really hard to explain all of this and give you the background and let you try it out in an hour. So thanks for bearing with me, and let me know if you have any questions. And I'm also open to having one-on-one phone calls or chats or Zoom calls if that would be helpful as well. So feel free to reach out. So thanks so much. Merci, chou, merci, guanashish. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And Thorsten, I'd love to see some pictures of where you are. So it'd be fun if you could share some, too.
They will come your way. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, I'm going to stop the conference call recording and stay on the line if you have any further questions. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.